So I want to probe a little bit more, too, about what you would be saying to her in this initial visit about all these things. And let's pick up a little bit on what you would tell her to expect in terms of the anastrozole.
I think the difficulties with any of these aromatase inhibitors are the articular complaints. It is said that about 10% of patients have articular complaints. I've had 4 patients who have been so bad that I had to take them off these drugs and actually transiently use narcotics because the pain was so bad.
Do you normally try another aromatase inhibitor or tamoxifen, or what do you?
I usually switch on a non-steroidal to a steroidal aromatase inhibitor. I don't know whether it's a placebo effect that some women seem to tolerate the other drug better. This is an area that needs to be actively investigated because in the symptomatic patient, it really destroys quality of life.
Can you talk a little bit more about where the arthralgias occurred and when they usually start?
Usually you see it in the first month. Some of the patients are fortunate enough, a majority I would think, although I haven't consistently looked at it, that within several months the arthralgias are either diminished or they manage to live with it and they sort of ignore it. But usually it's seen rather rapidly in the first month. It usually involves the hands, the feet, occasionally the hips. Most people function. As I said, I had a minority of patients who could not function, who barely could walk, and we just had to stop it.
Is there a time sequence during the day when these tend to occur, more in the morning or with exercise, or does it get better with exercise?
It seems to be mainly in the morning. In that sense, it sort of mimics what you see with a rheumatoid patient, but you don't have the demonstrable changes you see with rheumatoid arthritis.
Any medications or management strategies that seem to help other than changing it?
A lot of things have been done. Chondroitin sulfate has been used. Many of these women talk, they have support groups and everything else that they will talk about these things. So chondroitin sulfate's been used. Again, whether it has some placebo effect, some people say yes, some people say no. Non-steroidals obviously have been used. As I said, if it's particularly troublesome, I'll usually try to change drugs if I can.
And another issue in terms of the aromatase inhibitors relates to bone. Can you kind of overview what the issue there is?
Yeah, I think that's, again, a major issue. It's an issue that one can deal with, but it's a major issue. We know that there's a proportion of patients, and the majority of the patients who get bone loss, because you're driving the estrogen levels in a postmenopausal woman to virtually zero, and therefore have no agonist activity for the bone, is the majority who do get bone loss usually start osteopenic or osteoporotic. The major bone loss is seen in the first year. So what most physicians do that I'm familiar with would be a baseline study at 1 year. If a person is already osteopenic or osteoporotic, there are studies from Europe, such as the ZFAS study, that have suggested the use of bisphosphonates can abrogate the bone loss. So that I don't think it's an absolute counterindication for an osteoporotic woman who really needs an aromatase inhibitor to get it. Obviously, the more information you have before you start treatment, the better you can manage it. So for a person who's osteopenic or osteoporotic, I would start them on a bisphosphonate. For a person with a normal bone density, I would wait a year because it's just an added drug and potentially an added complication.
And using that kind of follow-up, and of course, when the trials were done, that wasn't done because we didn't know what to expect. But using that type of approach, do you feel that there's still going to be an excess risk of fracture, or do you think you can kind of prevent that?
That's a critical issue, really. There's no question that you can prevent bone density loss by the current imaging techniques. The question you're really asking is more important, and that's the quality of the bone that's there. And there is some concern with the bisphosphonates that the osteoclast, which is the cell that resorbs bone, also is responsible for initially dealing with microfractures. And we have, in wear and tear on our body, we make microfractures in our bones. So what normally will happen is the osteoclast will eat that microfracture, and then the cell, the osteoblast, will put down new, good bone. The difficulty when one uses a bisphosphonate is you inhibit osteoclast function. So you have the osteoblast putting down bone, but whether the quality of bone is as good as normal bone is controversial. In the ZFAS study, for example, the fracture rate, even though you had increased bone density, the fracture rate was still increased.